Rus Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis. So we have seen that there is a tragic famine in Yehuda, and the great man of the community, who we will meet him now and have his name, has simply picked up his family and left, ignoring the suffering of everybody else in his town, of whom he was supposed to be a mefarnes, supposed to be supporting, ignoring the fact that most of them are also his relatives. So he's letting his family die in famine and poverty. And who was this great paragon? B'shem Ho'ish Elimelech. And the name of the man was Elimelech. Chazal say he's called Elimelech because he had a Kabbalah. He said a lie, Tavo Malchus. Elimelech. Malchus, kingship, is going to come to me. Yaakov Avinu had given a bracha to Yehuda in Parshas Vayechi, Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda, that leadership, kingship, rule would not leave Yehuda. That leadership in the Shevet followed the line of Peretz through Nachshon ben Aminadav, and Elimelech assumed that he was the latest who was going to inherit that. Yet he's disqualifying himself from kingship by leaving Eretz Yisrael in its time of need, closing his hand to the poor, which means he's actually unworthy of being a melech. In fact, what some say is that he had in mind that there was some kind of tradition that Moav would be involved, so he assumed that he would prolong the Malchus by going to Moav, which only makes him that much more selfish, that he's leaving everybody else behind to suffer while he goes to Moav to find out how he can be king. Of course, the man who would be worthy of fathering the royal line was Boaz, a.k.a. Ivtson. But Ivtson himself had some issues. He was the father, we learned in Sefer Shoftim, of 30 sons and 30 daughters. And despite the fact that he was burdened by supporting such a large family, he did not leave the famine-stricken Eretz Yisrael during the famine. Elimelech, with only one wife and two sons and great wealth, he runs away. So Elimelech is not distinguishing himself well here. V'shem ishto Na'ami. And the name of his wife was Na'ami. The Medrash says she was called Na'ami because her deeds were Na'im Uni'imim, pleasant and sweet. She was renowned for kindness and good deeds, and most Mefarshim say she did not want to flee with him, but he said, we have to go, so she accompanied him. B'shem Shnei Banav, and the name of his two sons, Machlon V'Chilion. They are not individuals, they are a pair, which implies that both their names apply not only to themselves, but to each other. The two of them were similar, and they were Ephrasim. Machlon and Chilion, says the Medrash again, she nimchu min ha'olam, that they were machla, they were nimchu, they were erased, blotted out, machui, from the world, and shekalu min ha'olam, they were destroyed from the world. Left childless and with no further legacy. Like Elimelech, they would be punished for going along with the flight. Ephrasim is an honorific title meaning aristocrats. Rashi says distinguished people. They trace their lineage not just back to Yehuda and Nachshon, but also to Miriam Hanaviah, who in Divrei Yamim is called Ephrasa, the Jewish settlement in Ephrat, named after that connection. And more evidence of the fact that the family has everything that you could possibly need. They have wealth. That's Elimelech. They have wisdom. That's Na'ami. They have tremendous yichus. That's Machlon and Kilion. But as soon as they walk out of Eretz Yisrael, it's done. How do we know? Mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. They come from Beis Lechem Yehuda, the seat of kingship. But Vayavos de Moav Vayiyu Sham. But they came to the fields of Moav. Now before it said Lagur Bistei Moav, to sojourn temporarily. But now it says Vayiyu Bistei Moav, Vayiyu Sham. Which means, once they came there, they became there. They became ministers, eminent citizens, assimilated to some extent. The stingy, inhospitable Moabites reinforced their own tendencies towards these same qualities. So, Pasuk Gimel, so now they're settling in Moab. Vayomas Elimelech ish Na'ami. But Elimelech, Na'ami's husband, died. Batisho er hi ushnei vanov. Vaneha, and only she and her two sons were left. Elimelech dies an untimely death for leaving Eretz Yisrael, for refusing to help the poor, for neglecting to even daven for mercy on all of those in his generation who so needed it. And this man, who was himself a tremendously high-status person, this man who would be king, is only known upon his death as Ish Na'ami, as Na'ami's husband. The only one who mourns him upon his passing is his wife, who is devastated. And so she is left, Vatisha er he, like Shiare Menachos, the Chazal say, like the remnants of the Karban Mincha, the meal offering, the Gemara says, which means little consequence with very few resources. Now, some of the Chazal point out that this would be a golden time opportunity to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But Vatisha er he puts a little bit of the blame on her. She remained. She compounded the mistake. She ignored the warning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at what happened to Elimelech. Be very careful. And instead, she remained there, Vatisha er, in the Moav. And that is going to lead to problems for the sons, who are Ushnei Boneha, her sons. Neither Naomi nor Mahlon and Chilion are ever identified with Elimelech again. But Mahlon and Chilion are not about to distinguish themselves because they're going to make a very big mistake when they go out to marry.